The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
On Board Planola yesterday gave the green light to a highly contentious plan for a 300-unit co-living development in the centre of Phibsborough. This was despite the Minister for Housing calling for a ban on co-living developments and many objections against the scheme. The plan for this development was lodged with the Board just days before the Minister's ban came into effect, and this is the first co-living project given the go-ahead since then. Also yesterday, the Board gave permission for a seven-storey, 200-bed hotel on the grounds of Clonliffe College next door to Croke Park. The plan was also subject to numerous objections from local residents, mostly around the scale and size of the plan. Now, these two decisions have once again brought the role and operation of On Board Planola front and centre and raised questions about how well the oversight of planning in Ireland is working for the people on the ground. We're joined now by Frank MacDonald, who's former environment editor of the Irish Times and author of several books, including The Destruction of Dublin and Truly Frank, a Dublin memoir. Frank, can you tell us how and why On Board Planola came into existence?
Well, the board actually was set up in 1977 as an appeals body for all planning appeals cases. And prior to that, of course, those of us who are old enough to remember, these planning appeals were decided by the minister, whoever happened to be minister for local government at the time. And the previous minister for local government was Jimmy Tully, who became notorious for his abuse of the appeal function that he had. So the idea is setting up On Board Planola, which was constituted at the time, I think it was a board of five, and it was chaired by a High Court judge, just to show that it would be totally independent of the political system and to guarantee, in effect, that planning applications were going to be determined in a fair and objective manner. And of course, you know, it used to be the case that all planning applications were adjudicated on by local authorities. And if the developers, whatever they wanted to build, complied with a city or county development plan, usually adopted every 5 years by elected representatives on the local authorities, the councillors, they generally got planning permission. And if anyone was unhappy with that, they could appeal against it to On Board Planola, which was prepared to listen to reasoned arguments that people made, saying that such and such a thing was just not acceptable or whatever. But three key pieces of planning legislation over the past 4 years have changed the whole ballgame. And they were all introduced in response to lobbying from a little known organisation called Property Industry Ireland, which is a division of IBEC, the Irish Business and Employers Confederation. In 2017, the then Minister for Housing and Planning, Simon Coveney, introduced the whole idea of strategic housing developments. And these are covered by legislation whereby all housing schemes of more than 100 units could go directly to On Board Planola, bypassing the local authorities.
The key to this is that the planning board is not democratically elected. Government nominates the chair of On Board Planola, and then the minister of the day fills the positions. So there's no electoral process that produces these people in their jobs.
They
have the power to ride roughshod over the county development plans, which are approved by the democratically elected council. So there's no democracy involved at all, except very, very indirectly in that you elect the government of the day.
Exactly.
That's the only way.
It bypasses the democratic process. And the board is currently chaired by Dave Walsh, who was previously Assistant Secretary General in the department in charge of housing and planning, with a reputation for getting things done. And in that capacity, he would have overseen the drafting of the new legislation, which has changed the whole ballgame. And he was appointed as chair of On Board Planola in 2018. And other members include, you know, various people with professional qualifications, like Terry Prendergast, who was a planner who was formerly the chief planning officer with the Grange Gorman Development Agency, and Terry O'Nee, who is a former county manager in Tipperary, and Michelle Fagan, who is an architect and who was president of the Royal Institute of the Architects of Ireland. And they're the ones who are dealing with the strategic housing development.
Now, Frank, let's talk about how successful it's been to get houses built quickly, because you take out the local objectors, they make representations to One Board Plan Ola, but it stops that tedious business of dealing with the council and the planners and all the rest of it.
That's right.
So how many of these schemes have been given permission and how many have actually been built?
Well, I can't remember the total number of strategic housing planning applications that have been granted by the board. Some of them have been challenged by judicial review proceedings in the High Court, many of which have been successful. Indeed, the board has lost, I think, nearly 90% of the cases that have been taken against decisions that it has made to grant permission for these kind of schemes. And the record shows that of all of the strategic housing developments that have been approved by the board, that as of last November, Cillian Woods, who's a journalist with the Business Post, told an Oireachtas committee last November that as of last November, not a sod had been turned on 72% of the apartments that had been approved by the board under the SHD process. So nobody can argue that this so-called fast-track procedure is actually having any beneficial effect in producing housing. And also, the other thing that needs to be borne in mind is that the two other pieces of legislation that are really relevant in all of this is that back in 2018, after Owen Murphy became Minister for Housing and Planning, the design standards for new apartments were effectively dumbed down to facilitate build-to-rent, so-called BTR, schemes and co-living developments with no restrictions on the numbers of small studio and one-bedroom units and less private open space for residents such as balconies and so on. And local authorities were required to take this legislation on board and to implement it. And the reason why is because the aim here was to commodify housing in Ireland for international capital investment, for private equity funds, institutional investors, and so on.
Yeah.
And
Frank, the net effect of this is that a developer gets planning for a particular block of apartments, and before they build, they can actually pre-sell to a big international developer, hedge fund or whatever, with deep, deep pockets. So there's no risk for the developer at all.
And in fact, there's been lots of cases of that in the last while, that entire blocks have been sold on to institutional investors, most of whom, by the way, are from abroad. There was a survey that of residential sector by Sherry Fitzgerald, and it showed, the most recent one showed, that last year, of the 1.2 billion that had been invested in the Irish residential sector, 68% of all of that investment came in from overseas. There were foreign investors involved in that. And the other key legislation that is governing, in a way, the whole thing is Owen Murphy's decision in 2019 to impose mandatory building height guidelines on local authorities, requiring them to promote greater building heights on the basis that this would increase urban density and counter suburban sprawl and all of that. And it's a combination of those three things, the build-to-rent legislation or apartment design standards, the strategic housing development legislation, which came in 2017, and the building height guidelines, that has really changed the whole ball game in relation to Irish planning. And that now, On Board Plan Ola plays a central role in this, and hardly anyone knows who they are or who they're accountable to.
Now, one of the aspects of the new minister's tenure is that he has said no more will they allow the creation of these little studios, co-living.
Well, I mean, he hasn't banned it entirely, but, you know, it's not being given the priority that it had been given by Owen Murphy.
He indicated that he wasn't going to have any more co-living, but, of course, anything in the pipeline will be allowed to be built. But more important, I think the BTR sector, the build-to-rent, often leaves local people without any option of owning a home in their area.
Absolutely.
The only option they have is to rent forever. Now, that's not what Irish people want.
That is absolutely true. And nobody could argue that you know, say, a 200-unit build-to-rent development where there's no element of home ownership at all, that that's not the basis for the creation of sustainable residential neighbourhoods, because essentially BTR caters for transients, people who are going to be living in a place for maybe a year or two and before moving on. And also you have to remember that the tallest residential building in Dublin, Capital Dock, the Capital Dock Tower on the corner of Britain Quay and Sir John Rogerson's Quay, that was completed by Kennedy Wilson just over 2 years ago. And nearly half of the 190 apartments in that tower are still vacant nearly 2 years later. And the reason why is because the rents that are being charged for accommodation in that building, whether it's for one bedroom, two bedroom or three bedroom flats, are prohibitively expensive.
Now, Frank, the way in which the board operates, if, for example, a local authority grants a permission for any kind of development, because if it's over 100, it goes straight to the board. But if it's under 100 units, it goes to the local authority and they maybe refuse it. It goes to the board and the board has an inspector who looks at all of these things. And I've always said the inspectors are the boots on the ground. They actually look at everything. They read all the reports. They read all the observations and so on. And then they make a recommendation to On Board Planola. The people who ultimately make the decision, you know, have not been there. There's so few of them. Well, there's a dozen of them or so. They could not possibly read all the applications that come in a month and view them in a detailed forensic way. So they depend on their inspectors. How often do they not listen to their own inspectors?
I mean, for example, take the case of the Bailey Gibson site off South Circular Road behind Clare Wills. That was the subject of a strategic housing application by Hines, the American developers. And that included two towers, significantly high residential towers, as well as a lot of other stuff. And the planning inspector who dealt with that case wrote a 141-page report, which recommended that permission should be refused on a whole variety of reasons, not least was that the excessive height of what was being proposed. And the board considered this planning inspector's report and granted planning permission for it anyway. And since then, Hines has come back with another scheme for the Clare Will site, which is directly on South Circular Road itself. And that scheme includes a residential tower that's going to be higher than Liberty Hall. And this is in the context of an area that is characterised by two-storey houses. If you take the case of Eglinton Road, where Jimmy Tully granted a notorious permission for what became Smurfit House, a six-storey office block on the corner of Eglinton Road. Right opposite that site, you've got another one, which is occupied at the moment by six semi-detached houses. And they're going to be replaced by a residential development rising to a height of 12 storeys on the corner of Eglinton Road there. There were a lot of objections to that scheme in Eglinton Road, as you might imagine, and people were absolutely appalled and horrified by the decision. And, you know, it's interesting to note that in relation to the big row about Johnny Ronan's two high-rise towers proposed for Northwall Quay, that scheme or that proposal is a flagrant violation of the planning scheme for the North Docklands, which was adopted by Dublin City Council way back in 2013 and approved by On Board Planola itself in 2014. And yet the board has been considering this planning application by Johnny Ronan and Colony Capital since December 2019. And the only indication that these pre-planning consultations with On Board Planola's planning inspectorate were underway was that there was a balsa wood model of the scheme in the foyer of the board's offices in Marlborough Street. And the public,
Frank,
no input into this whatsoever.
There's something you've just said there, that developers can actually go into negotiation with the board can suss out with the board what might get the nod. I mean, that's crazy stuff. That cannot be allowed.
this is what's going on, and this is allowed for under the strategic housing development regime. And, you know, it is really quite extraordinary that for a year these discussions were underway with the board. And even though the board was well aware that the proposal for North Wall Quay, which includes a 41-storey tower and a 45-storey tower, and by the way, the 45-storey tower would be more than double the height of the existing tallest building, which is Capital Dock across the river. And that these discussions were underway for a year before the actual planning application was lodged. And even though it contravenes the democratically adopted planning scheme for the Docklands, the board was prepared to entertain this instead of saying, listen, lads, you're off the scale here. This is just not on because it's not provided for under the planning scheme. And let's not forget, by the way, that when the board granted planning permissions for schemes in Docklands that contravened the 2014 adopted planning scheme for the area, they were quashed by the High Court no less than three times by three different judges on the basis that they seriously contravened what was planned for the area by the Dublin City Council.
Let's flip the argument. In theory, you've got a strategic housing development of many hundreds of houses or whatever. You want to get it through. In theory, the board should be, you know, meeting with these people and saying, look, guys, these are the rules. This is the county development plan. This is how far you can go. You know, you come up with the design, the style and all that. But these are the rules, baby. This is what you got to do.
Well, what has happened, of course, is that On Bord Pleanála rejected the amended version of the Docklands planning scheme that had been submitted by Dublin City Council. Having sat on the application for approval, which is required, the amended planning scheme was already adopted by Dublin City Council and sent to the board for approval. The board sat on it for 21 months. The planning inspector who dealt with the case recommended that the amended scheme should be approved. And by the way, in relation to Johnny Ronan's site on North Wall Quay, the planning scheme provided for raising the heights there, the proposed heights there, from 10 stories to 25 stories. And as a so-called Liffey Gateway residential tower to kind of match the Capital Dock scheme on the other side of the river. And the planning inspector recommended that the scheme should be approved. And the board decided not to approve it on the basis that it didn't go far enough and that Dublin City Council had not taken into account all its submissions made by essentially property lobbyists over the when the planning scheme was being considered, the amended version of it. And that they hadn't taken those into account, and that it didn't aim high enough, and they even said, in a way, that the changes that Dublin City Council had proposed to the Docklands planning scheme were only minimal. Now, there is nothing minimal between the height of a 10-storey building compared to a 25-storey building. How can that be minimal?
You know, there are those who say we should have a high-rise area in Dublin City. We, you know, land, particularly in Dockland, very valuable potentially and so on and so forth. But cutting to the chase here, we should have, I presume, safeguards. So if the board overturn an inspector's decision, if they approve an SHD, I presume there are minutes of that decision and the discussions back and forth between the board members as to why they're overruling their inspector or why they're agreeing with their inspector. I would expect, you know, a fairly voluminous minute to be available on every decision. Is there one?
In fairness, the board's decision in relation to its decision to reject the amended version of the Docklands planning scheme was a detailed decision in itself. But it went on and on about how the Dublin City Council wasn't aiming high enough and so on and so forth.
But in general, with decisions that are made for good or for ill, for people who are looking for planning, do you get a detailed minute as to why they overruled an inspector's decision?
No, you don't. No, the only minute that you get, that you're entitled to, is a minute that notes who was there at the meeting at which the decision was made. That's all.
So there's no transparency as to why they would, say, go against the county development plan in Cork or Kerry or Dublin or whatever, or why they would overturn their own inspector. No detail of people who've never been on site and how they reached the conclusion they reached.
Well, basically, the decision is issued. There's a board direction and a board order that's issued in relation to any particular application, whether it's, you know, Johnny Ronan's scheme or whatever. And, you know, these decisions are the reasoning is given in the decisions, the reason why they granted planning permission. For example, they granted planning permission for a 34-storey tower in Cork, which is going to be a luxury hotel rising up out of Custom House Quay at the confluence of the two branches of the River Lee, a very, very important site in the centre of Cork City. And that scheme actually had been supported by Cork City Council and was endorsed by the board, despite objections from the Irish Georgian Society and others who regarded it as being grossly excessive in terms of its scale. It would be the tallest building in Ireland if it was to be built. And, you know, they gave reasons why they granted planning permission for that. But the reasons are all included in the decision. There's no, you know, transparency in relation to whatever debate took place within the board itself over whether it should grant permission for any particular scheme or not, as the case may be.
Is the board, as it's constituted now, dating back to 1977 and, you know, added to, is it fit for purpose now, or do we need to look again at the way we run planning? Because many people feel that judicial review in the High Court is a very expensive last course for ordinary people to have a go.
Indeed it is, because, you know, because of the potential costs involved, not only on your own side, but if costs were awarded against you on the other side, from the other side, you know, it's just really intimidating for ordinary people. And yet, in the case of the Bailey Gibson site on South Circular Road, two brave local residents currently have a judicial review case before the High Court over the board's decision to grant planning permission for that particular scheme. And I take my hat off to them, really, to be honest, because it's something that the vast majority of people wouldn't dream of doing in a month of Sundays. But, you know, there was a time when the board could be counted upon, you know, to listen to reasoned argument in relation to planning issues and particular applications and so on, and have refused planning permission, even for in cases where the local authority itself had granted it on the basis that the case made by third parties, you know, local residents and others, people like Antashka or the Irish Georgian Society or whoever, you know, made a valid case to say, look, the local authority was wrong in granting planning permission for something because it contravened the development plan or because it was grossly excessive in terms of height or scale or whatever. And those arguments were listened to. And I think, you know, because of this whole change that has taken place and the fact that developers can go directly to the board and engage in all of these discussions in advance without any input from the public, that people are losing faith in relation to planning in Ireland.
Frank MacDonald, former environment editor of the Irish Times and author of several books, including The Destruction of Dublin and Truly Frank, a Dublin memoir. Frank, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
Thank you, Pat.